For behold, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Already flowers have appeared in the field, and the time has come for singing. The Song of Solomon is sort of a parable to the Christian. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The Song of Solomon, quite literally, is a love story between a shepherd and a Shulamite maiden. I'm glad that Jim could read that chapter with a straight face. He said he would try before we came in. It is an extraordinary love story, if you don't believe it. Several years ago in another church, we were having a young couple's retreat. The young couples were hearing about marriage and the marital relationship, and the speaker encouraged our young couples to go one Sunday afternoon out into the fields and to open the book of Song of Solomon and read it to one another. 9 months later, there was an epidemic in our church of new births. So, if you're over a certain age, then you better not read the Song of Solomon. It is a love story first and foremost, but also it means something. Its meaning is an allegory, and the allegory is a description of the bridegroom, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, and his bride, who is the church, that is those who comprise the church, the believers. So that we have this description, this dialogue, this picture, this love affair, if you please, between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride. And if you substitute yourself for the bride, then you will get the right idea in reading the book of Song of Solomon. Indeed, in this particular chapter, we have a dialogue between the bride and the bridegroom, between Christ and his church. We see in verse 10, "My beloved responded and said to me," that is, Jesus is speaking as it were, and he says, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come away." It is the voice of Christ speaking to his own people. For he tells us later in the Gospel of John that my sheep hear my voice, and they come to me, and they respond to me. Have you heard the voice of Christ? He says, "My darling, my beautiful one." Here is an ascription of love that Christ has for his church. Earlier we read in verse 4, "He has brought me into his banquet hall, and his banner over me is love." Such is Christ's love for the church. Such is the whole book of the Song of Solomon that it can be described as a love story. Indeed, I know one young couple who, on getting married, had engraved inside their wedding band Song of Solomon 8:6a, "Set me as a seal upon thine heart. Set me as a seal upon thine heart." And so the Lord Jesus Christ says to the believer, "Set me as a seal upon your heart." And then he says, "Come along," in verse 10. Come along. Here is Christ's invitation. It is His invitation to you, His invitation to me to come after Him, to leave the wintertime of our own spirits or our lives and to begin to enter into the springtime of the gospel in our relationship with Christ. This is a pattern of spiritual experience in verses 11 through 11 and 12. A pattern of our spiritual experience. You see, before the coming of Christ, there is the winter time of sin and of self and of bondage to ourselves. But then when Christ comes, He is like the sun who rising brings warmth upon the earth. So Christ melts the coldness of our hearts and gives to us new life and new hope. That is His invitation to you. We are invited to leave the winter time of our own souls and to enter into the springtime of the gospel. Winters in Scotland are winters indeed. It begins to get light around 9 o'clock in the morning. Around 3 o'clock, it begins to get dark again. And one goes for days and weeks without ever seeing the sun. And the cold north wind blowing off the Firth of Forth, coming down from the North Sea, blowing across the east coast of Scotland, is like a chilling wind all the time, no matter how many garments you have on, blowing right through you, a cold wind. Jesus says that the Spirit is like that. It is like a chilled, cold breeze. It is wintertime until Christ comes and dawns upon the heart and makes it spring in your spirit. This pattern, of moving from the winter time into the springtime may be observed in the church universal. I'm thinking of the Old Testament church where we may say that was the winter time of God's revelation. I don't mean to say that there were not glimpses of Christ here and there in the Old Testament. Here is a promise, there is a flower. Here is another promise, there is a flower. Here is another promise, and there is a flower. But it was winter time compared to the springing forth of the gospel when the Lord Jesus Christ came and dwelt as a man Himself. And then the church entered into the summertime when its shoots began to sprout, when its roots began to be sent down into the soil of God's love and truth, when it began to grow as a cedar of Lebanon. But then again, there entered a time, a season in the church, which was another winter time. And it was the winter time of the darkness of heresy, the darkness of Catholicism. And then once again, there was the springing forth of the gospel at the Reformation. And then there was another winter time in the 17th century in the coldness in the winter of the church's orthodoxy. And then there was again another springtime in the 18th century evangelical awakening. And then another winter time and then another springtime in the Sunday school movement and the great missionary movement of the 19th century and the great revivals in the Confederate armies in the 1860s. But friends, it has been well over 100 years since the church universal has experienced an extraordinary springtime of the gospel. We have seen the signs of the times. We have seen flowers, as it were, appearing in the land. There is the flower of the work of Campus Crusade for Christ. There is the flower of the work of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. There is the flower of Wycliffe Bible Translators. There is the flower of World Vision International, a missionary organization which has stated its purpose as being this: to give everyone on planet Earth an opportunity to say yes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have seen the flower of the blossoming of the Presbyterian Church in America in 1973 as it continues to grow. But friends, we have not yet seen a springtime of the gospel prosperity as we would like to see. And so Christ says to the church universal, and he says to denominations, whether Methodist or Baptist or whatever, and he says to the Presbyterian Church in America, arise, my beloved, my beautiful one, and come along with me and experience a springtime of my presence. There is also this pattern of winter time and springtime in this congregation. Is it not? Have you not noticed that pattern yourself? I have. This congregation has seen dark moments in its past. In the past 20 years, you have had different ministries here. There have been different seasons of gospel prosperity. There have also been seasons of the winter time. There have been seasons when it seemed as if everything that was attempted and tried by God's people bore fruit. But then there has been a season of the pruning of the vines, when God, in His work of discipline, begins to clip away and clip away and clip away, that there may come yet more fruit, as Jesus said in John chapter 15. You have seen lives dedicated to full-time Christian service. Many of you in just the last couple of years have developed a fragrant aroma of Christ as you have developed Christian graces through discipline, through hardship, through prosperity. But now is the time not to sit in the pew, but to consolidate gains and to strengthen that which remains, that we, that you and I may respond to the voice of Christ who says to you and to you and to you, come along, come along, come along, and you will experience a springtime of the gospel. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Already flowers have appeared in the field, and the time has come for singing. We also notice this pattern of wintertime and springtime in the Christian's own life at his conversion. Before you received Christ, was it not a winter of sin and of self and of focusing in upon you when your heart was frozen, as it were, to the voice of Christ? And then the Sun of Righteousness began to shine upon your heart, and you were able to come to the foot of the cross. And you looked up and you saw the Lord Jesus Christ in His substitutionary work, and your heart was melted by His sacrifice for you. And then it was no longer winter in your spirit, it was spring. When you realized that Jesus Christ loved you and died for you. God said in Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart. I will take out the heart of stone, and I will put in its place a heart of flesh. I will make you a new person. We read earlier about the song in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4. Again, his banner over me is love. What is that banner but the cross of Christ? Friend, can there be any greater example of God's love for you? Maybe he does not give to you all the material benefits that you want, but I ask you, can God do anything to convince you, to convince me of his love for you than he has already done at the cross of Christ? He died. Can there be any greater love for you than that? So Jesus says in verse 10, come along. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one. He says to you here this morning, he says to each one of you, come along in Revelation 3:20 when he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And the door is the door of your heart. And if you will open the door of your heart, then I will come in to you and will fellowship with you, and you will have fellowship with me. Have you accepted Christ's own invitation and inviting him into your life? And then there is the pattern of winter and spring and the Christian in his own spiritual life. We have to confess that sometimes we, even as Christians, experience a winter time in our souls. That is what some of the older writers call the dark night of the soul. Sometimes we are afflicted with doubt and despair and confusion. We admit that we don't really know what the Lord's will is in some cases, and we're left puzzled. Paul said, there are fightings without and fears within. He said that the things that I want to do, those are the very things that I don't do. And the things I do, those are the things that I don't want to do. Who has not experienced Paul's dilemma? Who has not cried out with Gideon as he, in the book of Judges, considered how the Midianites had beaten and were conquering and were ruling the people of God, when Gideon cried out, if God be for us, then why has all this happened to us? Have you not felt? Why has all this happened to us if God is for us? A winter time. A winter time of the soul. Who has not felt like Jeremiah? When he was placed in a dungeon, he was stuck down in the muck, in the mire, standing in the goo. The only light above him was one little ray of light coming from the top of the dungeon. And we can appreciate the words of the psalmist as we think of Jeremiah, O God, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Have you not cried out of the depths? Have you not experienced a winter time? Song of Solomon 2:11 and 12 comprise a promise to you, drooping spirit. Jesus says to you, the winter is past. There will come a day. If winter comes, can spring be far behind? You and I must accept with patience the discipline of the Lord. You and I must learn the lessons of faith and obedience to Him. The tree looks barren in winter, but friend, one day the tree will bear fruit. This Christmas, past Christmas, I gave a tree to my children. And I planted one right after Christmas, a sugar maple, in the yard. And as spring began to get closer, and finally spring came and it warmed considerably, I kept watching the sugar maple, waiting for the first sign of life. Everything else was blossoming. The dogwood trees, the azaleas, the daffodils, but no sugar maple. I went up to my sugar maple and I scratched it to see if the bark was still green. And then one morning when I drove out of the driveway coming to church, I noticed the green buds on the stems. Finally, after a winter, after a long spring, it began to blossom forth. And so will you, Christian. However severe your winter may seem to you, one day, like the sugar maple finally beginning to blossom, so will you. And then you will realize that promise that we reflected on last Lord's Day in Hosea chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. When God said to His people, I will be like the dew unto Israel, and He will blossom like the lily, and He will send forth His roots as the cedars of Lebanon. His shoots will sprout, and His beauty will be like the olive tree, and His fragrance like the cedar of Lebanon. So you will be fragrant again, Christian. Isn't that an interesting metaphor that the Bible uses to talk about the Christian, that he's fragrant? Have you ever thought about that? I was going to ask you about your deodorant this morning, but I thought that wouldn't be very proper in a Presbyterian church, and particularly since I have my robe on. But it is an interesting metaphor to think about. I mean, what did you put on this morning to smell good? Friend, did you put on the Lord Jesus Christ in your spirit? Did you adorn yourself with Christ when you came out of your bedroom? Are you giving forth an aroma, a fragrant aroma of the Lord Jesus Christ to those around you in your home? For wherever you go, friend, you are leaving some kind of fragrance. When you die, you're going to leave a fragrance. They say that there is a wine in Lebanon. Later on in Hosea, we never got that far. Later on, he talks about the wine of Lebanon. They say that there's a kind of wine in Lebanon that once you put it into some vessel and you drink it, that the vessel continues to bear the scent of that wine. Even after you pour other types of liquid into it and drink it, the vessel continues to bear the fragrance of that wine. Do you see the image? Having met Christ, do you bear the fragrance of Jesus wherever you go, friend? Christ will lead you out. That's the point. You will again blossom like the lily. You will again send your roots deep into the soil, and your shoots will sprout. Soul, are you in winter? Have faith in God. Believe He will lead you out. And then finally, at death, we see this pattern of winter and of springtime. Why death is the winter of winters. It is the greatest tragedy this side of heaven. It is the saddest of all events. But isn't it interesting that at that moment of the saddest and the most tragic event that can take place in your life, that it is but a prelude into the greatest and the most glorious springtime of all? I mean the springtime of the resurrection and of your eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a springtime that will be. Why, you can lump all of your great pleasures together in one big pile if you could do it. Every material good, every mental, psychological good, and you can multiply them by 1,000, indeed by 10,000, and you still have not approached what God has for you in the kingdom of heaven. For the Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath there entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. The springtime. A few lines were written about a Scottish Puritan named Samuel Rutherford. He served a congregation in the little town of Anwulf, Scotland. And then he was forced out of his pulpit for preaching the gospel. And he used to talk about the glory that dwelt in Emmanuel's land. And so one female writer wrote these lines. The sands of time are sinking. The dawn of heaven breaks. The summer morn I've sighed for. The fair, sweet morn awakes. Dark, dark hath been the midnight, but dayspring is at hand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. An old man was in a coma, having not spoken or given any response for several days and weeks. And then one moment, those people who were gathered about him noticed that he raised straight out of the bed, lifted his hands up like this, and staring, he said, "It's glorious!" And he fell back and he expired. How precious will be his voice when he says to you and to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. But Lord, it's so cold. It's so fearful. Come along. I know the way. For the winter is past, and the rains are over and gone. Already the flowers appear in the field, and the time has come for singing." Let us pray.